Blog Talk Radio.
Big Daddy Listen was a man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippy and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the Galloping Ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sort of game, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
All right, all right. How you doing? We're coming at you with a hot, hot, hot new episode of CMT Firestorm, where we bring you the best and raw, uncut, and unedited, and completely biased and opinionated opinions on everything to do with the world of football. I'm Mike. Today we got our panel together. Our boys are back in town, coming at us from the Windy City. We got Chi-Town Mike. What's cracking, Mike?
What's cracking, Cali Mike? Hey, everybody. Super Bowl CMT Firestorm. We're going to get all cracking and juicy about the Super Bowl, baby.
All right, all right. Coming at us from the Lone Star State, we got Big Tex. What's going on, Jamal?
What's going on, bud?
Let's do it to it. Do it to it. Coming at us from the stunt capital of the world, the mouth of the South, Clauzel Mathis. What's going on, man?
What's good, man? Looking forward to it. Ready to get into this intellectual, philosophical discussion, man, about the Super Bowl. I'm ready.
All right, all right. As we all know, we got the Super Bowl coming up this weekend. First, I want to start things off on a smaller note. Next Wednesday, actually, which is going to be cool because we're going to be on, will be National Signing Day for college football. College football heads pay attention to this a lot because, you know, these guys that are getting signed are going to be some of the guys from, you know, who are going to be playing in the big games tomorrow. I wanted to ask you, Tex, because you're kind of, DeSoto's kind of a football power right now. Now, were they a power when you went there?
No.
Oh, they weren't?
No. No.
Okay, no. I was gonna ask you about dude getting recruited then. But
no,
well they are now, but anyway, you know, this whole process of getting recruited is a very interesting process. You know, if you're taking kids who, you know, are relatively obscure, you know, and you're pushing them onto, you know, the national scene, you know, they have a big signing day special on ESPN. This is becoming, you know, tantamount to NFL combine type, you know, thing where, you know, you get these kids and they come up and they have the suits and hats sitting out in front of them, and you know they pick which school they're going to come, you know, go to, and you know it's a pretty big deal. It's been growing, you know, probably for the last about 15 years. It's been growing, you know, getting, you know, bigger and bigger. Like I say, to where, you know, now, you know, several different networks are going to have special on it. What do you guys think about signing day? do you think that it's good for these kids to get this much exposure, you know, kind of, you know, have, you know, kind of have this much power? What do you think about that, Clavel?
I said a question one more time. I'm sorry. Do you think they should have that much power?
About, you know, National Signing Day, the exposure that the kids get, you know, being in front of the spotlight, and, you know, having, you know, all these cameras in their face and stuff. And,
no, I don't like it. I mean, really, these guys haven't really proven themselves on a national stage, I mean, in terms of the collegiate stage. And I think, you know, they should like, have something where you can't contact these guys until at least their junior year. You know, you can't be, like, giving these guys recognition in the eighth grade or whatnot. You can't – and really, it's like you can't – you just have something like you can't contact them more than a certain time, their certain amount of times their junior year. And you can't, you know, make them visit any place officially until their senior year, you know. Coaches can't have contact with them, you know. Recruiters can't have contact with them until their senior year. I mean, you can send them letters their junior year or something like that, but you can't, like, you know, have a discussion with them or anything like that until their senior year. I mean, there's still going to be loopholes around it, things like that, but I don't really like the fact that they're getting all this attention, man.
Yeah, that's what it is. You mentioned that, you know, SC offered a kid a scholarship at 13. I think Alabama got a 13-year-old too, didn't they, recently?
Yeah. Yeah, they got an eighth grader, yeah. I think he's 13,
eighth grader, 13-year-old. Yeah, you know. Yeah, a couple of these big schools are getting these kids early. The thing about SC's guy is funny. I don't even think he's going to end up going to SC now that Lane Kiffin's not there. From what I understand, he might follow him to Alabama now. But, Mike, what do you
still
think
in Alabama
and all the hoopla surrounded by, you know, surrounding it?
I was about to say that, Callie, Mike. And I was going to say still, Kiffin still, you know, stay in Alabama, right? Because if Kiffin come to Alabama, Alabama lost the top prospect quarterback.
Yeah. What do you think about signing day, Mike, and all, you know, and all the spectacle that surrounds it?
The boys made a good point about it. Kind of, you know, it's high school, you know, what's the deal, all this attention and spotlight like that, but it's all for this show and show and just ratings, entertainment, I guess knowing what these guys are. Since we now in the media age of internet and TV and stuff, so, and you know, it's an old ESPN college network, so of course they had to have their show on it, so, you know, it's money and, like you said, it's all just, you know, entertainment, seeing stuff, having something on TV.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about it, Tex?
Well, you know the game, man. They're gonna hype. They're gonna put these kids out there. They're gonna hype these kids up. It's more just the public's infatuation with athletes, and you know, it is not just about the hero worship. I'm gonna say hero worship. You know, they don't. You know, they don't let these guys just go on about their business now. It has to be a spectacle. It's part of the hypocrisy. You know, you try to build them up, and then you come back and you tear them down. You know, you do the hero worship thing. You know, they're supposed to be invincible. They're no longer human. You know, they're something else. They're not people anymore. You know, it's kind of like is it any different than it being like an auction or something like that? It's almost like you're not stripped down or anything, but you know, it's like a cattle call. You know, who can get the biggest ox. You know, and I'm not really for that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's, you know, they're high school kids, and not only that, on the television, you know, you got folks on the social networks, you know, getting with these guys. These guys have these recruits have these accounts, and then, you know, folks are coming back and, you know, these guys choose a school, and or they don't choose a school that, you know, obsessive fan wants. So, you know, they go cussing them out and, you know, just bothering the kids. So it's not just the television, you know, that's part of the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. I mean, it spreads everywhere. And it's, I mean, you should really, really sometimes just check it out on the social networks. I mean, people are just hateful, man. They just, you know, the hate knows no bounds. It really doesn't.
Yeah, that's
no, I'm not.
Real,
I'm not a
real
big fan of it. Myself.
Real dark side of it too. That's a real dark side of it too. I heard a couple of kids were even like getting death threats, you know, from switching schools, you know, after they already made a verbal commitment, you know, they switch school and they get a, you know, getting death threats on Twitter and, you know, and stuff like that, you know. They don't even know. It's definitely, you know, it's definitely something you got to watch. I think that has to do a lot. You know, I think the parents have to, you know, kind of have to come in and monitor that too. You know,
yeah.
kind of,
yeah.
you know, make sure you know where their kid is going, and you know, and you know, because it could, you know, I mean, I, you know, don't want to play devil's advocate, but you know, there could, you know, people are crazy. You know, who knows? You know, you might be out and somebody, you know, get enough liquid courage in them and see one of these kids, and you know, and try to say something to them. You know, and then, you know, it's going to be trouble. You know, you get a young kid, you know, kind of emotional, you know, but in the body of a grown man, you know, next thing you know, you're going to get somebody getting hurt. So, you know,
yeah,
it'll, you know, hopefully they'll monitor stuff like that.
I was fixing to say, and that doesn't even include the, you know, the groupies and the outsiders trying to, you know, that just,
yeah.
you know, the media is a problem is just the groupies and everything else and the hangers on even at that age it's a whole different world, you know, same hip hop but just a different world.
Well, like I thought, you look at a cat like LeBron James, you know, it's like you don't think grown women, you know, wasn't looking at him in high school like, okay, I'm gonna try to have to get a piece of this cat as soon as he turned, you know, probably even before he even turned 18, you know, he probably had women offering themselves to him, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a lottery to see who can get pregnant by these dudes. So, you know, and, you know.
Yeah, it's Tommy, man. We're getting into the Tommy talk.
No, it is because they get pregnant and. You know, they'll sue for child support before the kid is even born. You know, seriously, it's like we don't even know if you're going to come to term and you're already suing me. You know, so it's a dangerous game, man. It's, you know, like I said, the parents. You know, to me, the parents have to monitor it. I honestly don't think kids should be on social media anyway, really, until they're 17, 18, maybe. But, you know, there's no reason for, you know, a 16-year-old to be on Facebook. You know, I mean, really the only reason you get on social media is to talk to people who you can't talk to every day. You know, a kid is supposed to be at school with his friends anyway. So, you know, what the hell reason they got to be on Facebook for?
Well, you got to understand who's raising these kids. You got to understand that. So that's where these problems are coming from. So.
Yeah, kids raising kids, you know.
Yeah.
It's all different now, different breeds.
But that's definitely the dark side of it. You know, like I said, that's something that, you know, like I said, hopefully, you know, people start to monitor. You never, you know, I didn't think about it. You'd take a gold digger and, you know, be looking at the kid. You never know. But one of the things about this recruiting process, though, is that, you know, in the aftermath of things, we can see, you know, how important it is. You know, me and Tex were talking earlier about LSU, you know. You look at how many stars they've had, I mean, and, you know, they got Ryan Perilou, but, you know, he didn't work out, you know. And it's like, you know, look how many years they had Jordan Jefferson at quarterback, and they were, basically wasted. You know, if they would have had even a half-decent quarterback, you know, they would have, you know, like I said, I think if they would have had a half-decent, I think a Perilou would have worked out. You know, I put it on Texas Facebook. I don't think Alabama would have had the chance to become a power that they did. You know, because LSU,
That's some ridiculous. That's some BS, man.
Perilou
was overrated, man. That dude was overrated.
That's Clausell. That's what you want to say. But go back, check their roster, and you see how many of them guys are really contributing to an NFL team. Or
that's different. I don't mean they were going to be a good college
compared
team.
To how many, compared to how many
you
guys
said they had parallel?
That's the thing, though.
You
that's
said
the
they
thing
had,
though,
no, but hold on. LSU has, still has people now. They had Tyrann Mathieu. They have all types of players now when Alabama was going on through
about,
their dynasty.
They didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
But if they had Perilou, that would have made it. That would even made a difference right there. Perilou sucked. He's overrated, man.
That's why.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
He didn't even listen to what I said. I said if he would have worked out, then they would. You know, it would have changed the whole course of their team. That's what I was saying. But you know, once you're Alabama, you go into a white noise thing where you don't hear anything else but Alabama. But
I'm gonna let that slide, man.
This all falls on her from the whole thing. Alabama, not good. You know, he didn't hear anything else. But everything else.
I mean, it's the greatest dynasty ever. It's the greatest dynasty. I mean,
think about it though. Think about. You know, even look at Alabama. You know, maybe if they didn't hit on a Trent Richardson, you know, certain players can change the fortunes of these teams. You know, and it's like, you know, like look at how we were looking at I get on your boy, Tony Watley about University of Florida. You know, their defensive class right now was, you know, supposed to be, you know, the top, you know, defensive recruiting class ever. You know, and a lot of those guys have went on to be first round, you know, draft picks, but none of them were ever what everybody thought they were supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and all it takes is a couple of misses, for it to change, you know, change the way things go, especially with quarterbacks. What I learned a lot too with some of these quarterbacks is the coaches will make a deal with some of these guys, like their sophomore and junior year, to where they won't pick a quarterback in the previous class. So you know what I'm saying? So when the guy gets there, he's guaranteed to get, you know, to be their starter, you know, when he gets there. You understand what I'm saying? And like I said,
I understand what you're saying.
A couple of situations I've seen that happen. You know, it happened in Arizona. And, you know, like I said, I know if it happened there, it happened to other schools. You know, they promise guys, you know, okay, we won't take a quarterback, you know, for 2 years before you get here. So, you know, by the time they get here, you know, they'll, you know, their last quarterback will be a senior and they'll come in and, you know, have, you know, 3 or 4 years of guaranteed starting time. You know, if that guy doesn't work out, you know, then you end up with Jordan Jefferson as your starter, who shouldn't be a starter at all. I mean, like, you know, like we say, you know, look at how close, you know, Jameis Winston came to being a Longhorn or being on Alabama. You know, that pretty much changed the whole course, you know, of Florida State and Texas in history. You know, if Winston would have went to Texas, maybe Mack Brown still be the coach, you know. So, you know, like I said, I can see, you know, recruiting, you know, it's a very important tool, you know, in college football, you know, and some of the hits and misses can definitely affect the program, you know, especially, you know, even have long-term, you know, lasting implications, you know, depending on how, you know, all out the school goes over getting one guy. So, you know, it's like I said, definitely going to be something to monitor. Besides that, let's see, really didn't have anything go on this week. Let's kind of go over the Pro Bowl, I guess, before we get into the Super Bowl talk. I mean, did anybody really even watch it? I didn't even watch it this year. Did you guys watch it?
I did.
I tried to watch the end of it, man.
I mean, how was it? I mean, was any of it even watchable? I mean, was it a joke?
Well, I mean, this is, and here's the thing. There's no incentive to get rid of the Pro Bowl because number one, the players get paid for it. Number two, it rates higher than any other All-Star game played. So that right there just gives you – that tells you about the power of the NFL and the hold it has on the public. I don't watch the Pro Bowl, but, you know, enough people watch it to where, you know, it gets a pretty good rating. This year it was said to be different. It was said the level of play was better, said guys competed, guys went after it. They played hard like it was an actual game. And, you know, part of that is the money. And, you know, Goodell said he was going to get rid of it. So, you know, when you have Goodell saying he's going to get rid of, you know, baby mama money, $50,000 and $25,000, you know what I'm saying, for a winning and losing team, when he, you know, these guys, they can get out there and they're going to play so they can get paid. And it's probably some pride attached to the fact that you get drafted, you know what I'm saying, instead of an NFC, AFC thing. I mean, he had T.J. Ward versus Josh Gordon the other day. You know, they play on the same team in the NFL, but, you know, they were drafted opposites for the Pro Bowl. So I think that also played a role, too, in being drafted. And I think Alex Smith was the last or the second-to-last player drafted. And, you know, he led a game-winning drive. So, it's, you know, there's no incentive to cut it. I don't watch it because I just don't get down like that. But apparently it was the best one that they've had in a long time.
Oh, really? Wow. See, like I said, I wish I would have watched it now. I didn't even pay attention to it. You know, it was like, you know, like I said, But wow, I really, you know, that's gonna be something I'm gonna have to try to check me out. I mean, I'm gonna have to try to check it out.
Yeah, it was Team Rice versus Team Sanders in a draft, and there's a format to it. It's kind of, you know, it's a little complicated, but you guys get drafted now. It's no longer NFC versus AFC.
I know. I kept hearing some players were surprised that there were some big hits in the game, and you know, I know some were getting surprised that their own teammates were hitting them. I think they said Derrick Johnson lit up Jamal Charles one time, and he was kind of surprised that he did it.
Yeah, but T.J. Ward went at man, he lit Josh Gordon up. He was down there around his knees.
It came pretty good for Ward, showcasing more of him going against his own teammate because, you know, him being a free agent. So, them Dallas.
Yeah, well, I think also, you know, you get, for some guys, you know, you get a chance to hit a guy who you might never get hit with, you know, so, you know, or you might not get to go, you know what I mean? You know, you might have some animosity towards a dude who you really never get to let it all out on. So, you know, you bust him in the mouth, just make sure he doesn't get hurt and, you know, move on. But that's going to be something interesting. I don't know. I might have to check out the replay of that, you know.
I was going to say, it could have almost went in a tie. I think Team Sanders went down and scored when they could have, you know, went for the extra point and tied it, but they went for the two-point conversion and they didn't get it. So, of course, Team Rice, when they had the ball at the end and kicked the field goal, they have to put the nail in the coffin on it. But I think it's a good format, man. I mean, interesting where you just draft the best of the best to go at instead of, I guess back in the day, AFC, NFC, it was good, but you know how things is, changes sometimes good, and you know, there was talk, you know, of course, of dropping the Pro Bowl, and the ratings wasn't as good, and we all know, especially in the NFL now, some of this is all about, of course, money, and hey, they're just trying to compete how it is like it is, you know, with the NBA, with the All-Star game, how the All-Star game drives, you know, so much money, the NFL is trying to do something different, which, hey, I don't have no problem with it. Only thing I kind of still have a problem with, they need to move it back like they used to have it after the Super Bowl. But that's another topic.
Mm-hmm. So, any thoughts on that, Clavel?
No, I think they should keep it before the Super Bowl. I mean, I didn't really watch the game till the end. I don't have any comment on there.
So why keep it before the Super Bowl where all the stars can't play, though? Well, let's say you're in the Super Bowl.
I mean, it's like, what are you going to – it's kind of like fills up that space from that two-week break, man. You know, that's why I like it. I like the fact that it can fill up. It keeps us relevant on football for 2 weeks up to the Super Bowl instead of having to wait two long weeks to see any other football game.
Yeah.
Another point right there.
Well, you know, I mean, like I said, I said it before, I wish they would bring back, like, the
you know, the lineman challenges and stuff like that. You know, the lineman challenge and the quarterback challenge. I used to like watching them things, you know, seeing who the best athlete was or who the NFL's fastest man was and stuff like that, you know. And, you know, maybe, maybe they could combine it, you know, with the Pro Bowl and have, like, an all-star weekend, you know, like the NBA does, you know, or something like that. You know, but I like I used to dig watching that sort of stuff back when I was younger, you know.
Yeah.
Coming into the Super Bowl, before we get into the actual Super Bowl analysis, who are some of you guys' top all-time Super Bowl teams? You know, who do you think are the best teams? You know, let's just talk about teams we've seen. Who are some of the best Super Bowl teams that you've ever seen, Tex?
92 Cowboys. Ahead of their time. Big offensive line, averaging about 325 pounds. Cat quick. Defensive team. You know, you look at Dallas's defenses from their Super Bowl years is, you know, everybody's so wild by Seattle, but you know, this is, you know, that was Dallas what Seattle is now. You know, fleet of foot secondary, very fast linebackers, active linebackers, and a deep defensive line where, you know, a lot of guys are playing 40-50% of the snaps. And it's just, you know, it's not a popcorn rush. It's not, okay, here we go. But it's everybody beating their guy and getting to the quarterback. So, but I mean, and I'm not saying it just because I'm a Cowboy fan, but I just, you know, I got to say 92 Cowboys, they were dominant. You know, they go out and then they party. Saturday night before the NFC Championship game, all the way to 5 in the morning, you get up and go kick some ass. So, you know.
Yeah. Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Huh?
I said cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
All right. Who's your favorite top Super Bowl team?
I don't know, man. It's probably between three teams. That 95, I think that's San Francisco team where they had Jerry Rice. I mean, Dion. I think that's 95.
94.
94 Niners. Yeah, they were pretty good, man. And that 89, people be sleeping on that 89 team, the 49ers team too. With the one that beat Cincinnati, but the one that beat Denver.
Yeah,
they were beating everybody's ass that year. Number three.
I've never had Super Bowl.
Who I've seen or who I think is the best team. Everybody say a lot of it's the 85 Bears. That 86 Giants team was pretty good too. So I'll give an 85 Bears too up there too.
Mike, I already know who you're gonna say. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have to say them, but I know Mike had to say something about Texas Cowboys because them Cowboys was getting on y'all butt, Mike. But I was kind of rooting for your Niners, Mike. I couldn't stand the Cowboys a little bit, but I thought the Niners were gonna get them. But yeah, I think that, of course the Niners of the 80s. I remember that Super Bowl, what they did to Denver. I mean, shoot, they beat the crap out of the Denver Broncos. And then, you know, the 2000 Ravens defense, I think that's, you know, that's probably one of the
No, that's not
ones,
a complete
man,
team,
love...
though, man.
But we talking about teams, Mike. What team? Not what unit, but what teams?
I say that 2000 Baltimore Ravens team. I'll put down
what?
I guess
really?
The best in no. this on the 2000 era. I mean, I love defense though, Clausel and Tex. Then
that don't sound.
I mean, no, I'm saying I just love the defense what they did.
That don't sound That don't sound right.
That 2000 Ravens team,
they
man.
Was,
that offense was horrible. My wife cheered you on, Mike. But the thing is, because she's from Baltimore area. But the thing is, that offense, man, that offense was not good. Except for Jamal Lewis, that offense wasn't good. And then that 92 Cowboys team, really everybody was looking at that 49ers team that year, really, because they played the best that whole year, and the Cowboys just played that game. They played it well in that NFC Championship game. Because really, if San Francisco beat Dallas that game, they would have killed the Buffalo Bills also, I think. So I can't put that 92 Cowboys team up there. Maybe that 93 Cowboys team was pretty good too. I put them over that 92 Cowboys team.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
Well,
what was the difference between that 92 and that 93? What was the difference between that 92 and that 93?
What was the difference?
Yeah.
Well, there's a huge difference. You can see how they beat Buffalo down 52-17. That 92 team was dominant.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. The 93 Cowboys, I mean, it was kind of, you know what?
Clausel, they were so deep. It really just put a name in a hat and just draw it out. You know, 93 was a great team. 92 was a great team. But you know what? 95 is one of the most underrated Super Bowl teams ever because they had so much dysfunction that year. It's a miracle they won that Super Bowl.
I kind of credit Neil O'Donnell, though. You knew
Dallas was done winning Super Bowls in 95 when they won it all. You knew they were done.
Really? I didn't think they were done, but all right.
Yeah, they were finished. It was over with.
But Tech, why do you think it was so dysfunctional?
They were dysfunctional. At that point, they were kind of a dysfunctional ball club.
Well, they were
They were falling apart. They had
Barry Switzer as the coach, man, who was kind of lackable.
Yeah.
He was lax.
Well,
so.
You know, I'm not going to get into it, but it's just a bunch of different stuff. But that was the end. And the 96 defense was probably one of the best defensive units in the league. But they were good enough defensively in 96, but they didn't have – I mean, they had no offense. Surprise, surprise, so.
And I'd probably just say, you got to say best complete team, past 85, 80s where I was older. I had to say, Mike, your San Francisco 49ers are 94, man. I say this, though.
If y'all would have kept
Ricky Waters, I think y'all might have won another one. I think y'all might have could have got Tex Cowboys in 95. I think y'all just missed the running attack.
Well, also they lost Deion, too. So that was.
Yeah, and then William Floyd got hurt that year. Because you remember William Floyd?
Yeah, he got hurt. Yeah.
And he was good, man, that year, 94, with Ricky Waters also, man. So I think he got hurt that following year. And I met William Floyd at a club down here one time. But the thing is, I met him at a club down here in Tampa. But I think I had to put that 89 49ers team, man. That team was unstoppable, that 89 Niners team.
I think I put them over that
94.
Oh yeah, I put them over the 95 team.
I think that 89, but a lot of people say that 84 49ers team was Bill Walsh's. Well, Bill Walsh didn't coach that 89 one, but they said the 49ers team.
They lost one game that year though.
The 84?
Yeah, that 89 team. That was an all-time kind of team though. I'm gonna choose two different teams just because you guys chose already picked the teams I was gonna pick. I'm gonna look at the 96 Packers. They're a very complete team. You know, Brett Favre was hot that year. Their defense was together with Santana Dotson and Reg White on that line, Leroy Butler and those guys in the secondary. You know, they had a very good defense, and their offense was together too with they had Dorsey Levins and Edgar Bennett at running back, Antonio Freeman and. I forget what the other wide receiver's name was, but those guys they were pretty good that year too. I loved playing with them on Madden too. That used to be my squad on Madden, 96 Packers. Also, I look at the 98 Broncos. That's a very underrated team.
They were.
You know, them was some bad. They should have probably won three Super Bowls in a row. You know, but you had even with Elway retiring, really.
But you know, they were super bad.
I think maybe talk about 96. Some people thought that 96 because they thought they had won it, but they didn't have home field. They had that loss to Jacksonville.
I'm talking about the 98 one. But yeah, they were a super bad team. You know, Elway in his final year.
You know, he was excellent. You know, I think Terrell Davis, 2,000 yards. You know, they had Derek Lavelle was his backup. You know, Ed McCaffrey, Rod Smith. You know, that was a complete team. Shannon Sharp. You know, those was a bad team. You know, they had defense. Trevor Price. You know, Romanowski, Atwater. You know, Ray Crockett. You know, they were. They had some skill on that team. That was, you know, I think they went like 13-3, 14-2 that year too.
Yeah. To me, they most resembled the Cowboys of the 90s, the early 90s, in my opinion.
They were some bad boys.
I got a quick question, man. After you answer, Mike, who was the best team that never made it to the Super Bowl? Who do you think it was?
The best team that never made it? Off the top of my head,
I'm gonna start with that Vikings team that lost to Atlanta. That Vikings team that lost to Atlanta.
The Vikings versus the Broncos? Oh, man, that was a hell of a Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, Minnesota was super bad that year.
I think Denver would have got them, though. I think Denver would have beat them, though.
I don't know.
Well, the thing is,
Terrell Davis, they couldn't stop Terrell Davis, though.
Denver's offense was actually right behind the Vikings, you know, at that time. And I think you know, Denver's offense was an all-time offense that year, too. I mean, they were literally, you know, Minnesota's Vikings, you know, that team, they set the record for offense. And Denver was, like, maybe, like, 30 points behind them in the season. You know, they were right behind them. You know, and I think maybe the difference would have been that defense. And Denver's defense was tough that year. You know, they had a really tough defense. Now, the Vikings, they were tough too. You know, that offense, you know, with Moss and, you know, and
Carter, Reed,
and Chris Carter. You know, my goodness. I mean, that's, you know, they had Matthew Hatchett and Jake Reed. You know, their third and fourth receivers were excellent that year. And they were awesome, you know. I mean, you know, the defense was, you know, Ed McDaniel and, you know, and those guys, and, you know, John Randall, and, you know, even their offensive line. What did they have? Randall McDaniel. Who's the other dude they had?
Stussy, Stringer, yep. Randall McDaniel. Who else? Christie. They were raw, man.
They were super bad that year. You know, that would have, you know, they would definitely be a squad that a squad to be reckoned with. I mean, wow. You know, that, you know, yeah, Jeff Christie on them, you know. They were super bad.
But also, they say in Minnesota, if they did have on the win, though, John Randall would have been kind of gimpy going into that Super Bowl because he was, you know, he didn't finish that NFC Championship. You know, he had that gimpy knee, so I don't know how he would have acted in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you know they would have needed him. He's
that
heart and soul,
their
defense.
Yeah, like I said, you know, he would have played the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, you only get a couple of chances to make that in your career. Who's old boy? They had Jimmy Scott. He was cold that year too, man. He was real cold that year. But that was a pretty good team. Besides that, who do you guys have besides them?
The 92 and the 92 Oilers wasn't, you know.
That team too. I forgot about that team. Oh, yeah. You talking about the team that lost to Kansas City, right?
No, they went up to Buffalo and was beating
Buffalo
35-3 and then lost 38-35.
No, I'm talking about the team the next year. No, that team the next year was even better, I thought. They were they won like 13 straight games or something like that.
They
and then they lost to Kansas City.
Really? I wouldn't say they were better than that.
You're talking about the 90 team, I think, Carvel.
No, the 93, because the NFL Network did a documentary on them. The 93 Oilers.
Or was it 93?
Nah, that wasn't them. That's not them.
Happened in the 93 playoffs.
Texas talking about when they – no, but they just made it to the wild card in 92, though, Tex. I don't know about that. 92, they just made it to the wild card against Buffalo, and it was the game was at Buffalo. I think that 93 team
was
better.
Well, yeah, they should have won that game.
Well, yeah, they should have won
yeah.
it, but, you know, it was like they must have didn't have really a great regular season.
Nah, they were a pretty good football team. It was, you know, it was really supposed to be Dallas versus Houston in the Super Bowl, man.
Oh yeah,
all
yeah.
they had to do was get past Buffalo.
I don't know about that, Chess, because remember they brought in Buddy Ryan to run that defense, and that defense was playing.
They still had a good team, though. They still.
But Buddy Ryan came in '93, and that defense was on point, man. That defense was on point, and they had like.
Well, I mean, the year before, the Oilers had several good teams. They just couldn't get over the hump.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they were there. They fielded some pretty good teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that team.
Tex wanted to say about dysfunction, about his 95 Cowboys. Well, I had to say the 86 Bears, they had dysfunction too. And he had injuries. I thought we was healthy. Had not that punk Charles Martin, we would have had another Super Bowl. Sorry, Clausel. We would have beat the Giants, man.
Ego.
You said
what are you talking about, that 96?
No, the 86
Bears?
Yeah.
And that 86 Giants team is very underrated, man. That was an underrated team, but anyway. I mean, they went people don't know, they went 14-2 the whole year. They didn't lose the game.
We were 14-2, too, and we lost. Our second loss came to at the end on a Rams kick
yeah.
at the end of the game. McMahon
yeah.
wasn't even in, but we lost that one.
And plus that team that beat San Francisco in 90, remember we beat San Francisco in the NFC Championship game in 1990?
That team went
12-0. So, them and San Francisco.
Achilles, that's what they kind of changed in that game. I thought Phil Sills broke his leg. I didn't know he pulled his Achilles, torn his Achilles.
Yeah, he did. But anyway,
I forgot. Y'all was bad, man. I mean, the way Cali Mike, it might have been good that y'all did lose to the Giants, even though that Roger Craig fumble, because I don't think y'all would have beaten Buffalo, man. That was Steve Young at that time, man, you know. He wasn't ready.
Yep, they wouldn't have. They would have lost. They would have lost that game.
Who really knows? I mean, you know, it took a missed field goal for the Giants to win that. So.
You talking about the 90?
You're talking about the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I knew they were gonna miss. I knew he was gonna miss that kick anyway, because I remember growing up watching that game and they were saying he didn't even make a field goal that year from that distance anyway, so I knew he was gonna miss that kick anyway. That was like it was expected for him to miss that kick. A lot of people don't know that. But anyway,
I think the Giants, you know, they won fine. They might have been a little lucky because Washington and Dallas bent the Buffalo Bills over on their lap to play Pappy. So
they tore them boys up. I thought they tore on that last. But also too, Buffalo kind of cost themselves. They did
say my name.
Another team that made it to the Super Bowl to the Super Bowl but didn't win was the 2007 Patriots. You know, they went 16-0.
Oh yeah, I forgot they did. Yeah, I can't forget on that.
You know, those were
some
bad boys.
They got to the Super Bowl though, Mike.
They got to the Super Bowl. They didn't win, but you know that. Like I said, that team looked unstoppable all year. You know, and I don't know. I'm thinking that might be like one of the biggest upsets in Super Bowl history down there. You know, I mean, besides Clavel, right. Anybody putting their money on the door? Were you even thinking the Giants were going to win that game, Clavel?
No, I wasn't.
You didn't?
Well, I'm out of feeling because you remember they played earlier that year and the Giants gave him a lot of trouble. I don't know if you remember that. The last game of the year, the Giants gave him some trouble.
I remember
and the Patriots still won the game. And then a lot of people were like, this gives the Giants confidence that they can actually play with this team. So
it
I was
is.
Thinking maybe something like that was going to happen, but I didn't think they were going to win the game, no.
Yeah.
But I was glad they did, man.
Yeah,
that was the beginning of a dynasty.
My goodness. Yeah, it was.
I knew you could say something. I was waiting for you to say something. That was a dynasty, man. That was the beginning of a dynasty.
It kind of rocked the Patriots dynasty.
Yeah. Really, I mean, like I say, the way the Giants were, I mean, you know, can we really consider them a dynasty? I mean, they were good. You know the Giants. They're the team where, you know, they don't, you know, you'd be surprised when they even make the playoffs, but then they go and win the Super Bowl. You know, it's like it seems like they won Super Bowls. So I don't know if I could consider them a dynasty just because of the way they did it. You know?
Hey, two Super Bowls in 5 years, man. That's all that matters, man. Hey.
I mean, but
that's
the playoffs. I mean,
that's a dynasty for this year. For this NFL and this era, that's a dynasty.
I mean, how many times did the coach almost get fired and something crazy almost happen? You know, it's like
a lot of luck.
They're the team. Hey, the Giants are the team of the 2000. Well, dang, it's 2007,
right?
Never mind. I put the Patriots the team of the. Of the 2000.
Yeah, where are you? I was about to say, where are you?
The Patriots. I'll put the Patriots.
I will put the Patriots over them. I will put the Steelers over them. There's a couple of teams I put over the Giants. You know, you're talking about the team of the 2000.
I guess.
I wouldn't put. Well, no, they did. They did win. They only won two Super Bowls, right? They didn't win three, did they?
Yeah.
They won two.
They won.
But they went
to
three.
Yep, they sure did.
Yeah, but they got the ass whooped now, I believe. But
it was close on the last one. You know, the last one they lost, it was close though. I mean, it was. They made it, you know, reasonable. It was a competitive Super Bowl.
I'm pretty sure they got blown out. But anyway, I would put these guys up there. You know, I mean, like I said, I mean, maybe fourth or fifth most game. But, you know, I don't know. Like I said, they were always went into the playoffs. So that's the thing that bothered me about them. They were cardiac teams for sure. You know, like you can never truly count on them to do anything. You know, and it's funny because the seasons they would have good seasons, you know, and make the playoffs, they would lose. You know, so you know, like I said, it would be weird. You know, but you know, like I said, whenever they went into the playoffs, they go 500. You know, that's when they win a Super Bowl. You know, so mm-hmm. I don't know, they're cardiac kids. But
Tom Coughlin, he's gonna be back next year, so we never know. They might have to do something next year. You know, that division's kind of up for grabs.
Yeah. Let me actually bring in a caller real quick. It looks like we got Tony on here with us. Tony, what's going on, man?
What's up, people? First and foremost, all y'all talking shit. Why? Because the 78 Pittsburgh Steelers is the best Super Bowl team in history. They beat any of them across the board. 78 Steelers. I'll put my money on it.
78 Steelers?
78 Steelers. They sent like 14 of those players to the Hall of Fame.
14?
Nine of them, I think.
Yeah, I don't
Nine
think the 78 Steelers. I don't think the 78 Steelers would be the 92 Cowboys.
I don't know if the number of players the team sent to the Hall of Fame has anything to do with how they stack up against another team.
Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris, John
Stallworth,
Lynn Swann, Mike Webster, Joe Green, Jack Webster, Jack Ham, Mel Blunt.
Who?
The 78 Steelers would have beat any team in the history of the NFL, and that's including Joe Montana's team when he threw that piece of shit Hail Mary.
I get
it. Hey, Mike, the Steelers was bad.
The great Wall of Dallas would have ran through the 260-pound line.
Whatever. 78 Steelers. I would put them up against any team in the history of the NFL. Super Bowl. Any team.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean,
I give the Cowboys an edge over that because I think that I think Bradshaw was overrated. I think Swan was overrated. I think Swan was overrated.
Tony, you probably know the Steelers barely beat the Cowboys in that Super Bowl. They only won by like 3 or 4 points.
Barely means they won. Okay? Barely means they won.
Yeah,
so that means the Cowboys
you see
can't
that?
Beat
hey, check this out. Hey, check this out. See, now you're barely winning is barely winning, but if the Broncos
whatever.
Barely beat New England,
whatever, okay?
England,
you can talk about your Cowboys all you want,
winning.
But your Cowboys got their
blowing,
ass beat by my Steelers every time. Every time. Name one time the Cowboys beat the Steelers.
Hey, you see that?
You can't. You can't tell me that the Cowboys are better than the Steelers.
Hey,
the Cowboys suck.
Hey, Tony,
you think about
the Steelers in the Super Bowl? What are you talking about? The Cowboys beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl.
The Cowboys did not beat the damn Steelers in the Super Bowl. When?
With Neil O'Donnell.
Okay, don't say
that. Neil O'Donnell, a quarterback.
Don't say that.
I'm going to say anything about
I'm talking about, we're talking in the 70s. I ain't talking about that.
Neil O'Donnell, though, hey, I think he cost y'all that one, man.
Yeah, O'Donnell sucked, dude.
Yeah,
I don't even
did.
Know how we made that Super Bowl. The
NFC was
really
weak
that year.
It was a Hall of Fame coach.
And I have to go second best is them 85 Bears, boy. Them boys was bad.
Let me say this. Were there 85 Bears? I mean, okay, their defense was good. But were they really that
good,
though? I mean,
the 85 Bears, man. 85 Bears were good at every position.
Them boys was bad.
The 85 Bears were good at every position. They had, like, the best player in the league.
Hold on.
Every position.
For that year,
they were the best in pretty much every position.
They were good at quarterback.
Yeah, Jim McMahon was a pretty good quarterback that year.
He went to the Pro Bowl.
That year, Mike, what I'm saying is that year, not like their whole career.
They were good at wide receiver.
Willie Gold was good, man. Willie Gold was good.
He was one of the fastest guys in the NFL.
Are you kidding
everybody
me?
Everybody wants to keep handing it to the San Francisco 49ers. That was the ass-throwing pass in the last game. That don't make you the greatest team. That just makes it a great play. They would not have beat the 85 Bears, and they would not have beat the 78 Steelers. They would not beat them.
I'm looking at the 85 Bears stats right now. Jim McMahon only passed for 2,300 yards with 15 touchdowns, 11
that?
Interceptions.
Oh, here
we
go.
Willie Gott only had 700 receiving yards. He was their leading receiver. That team sucks.
Don't nobody want to hear about that stat shit. W's and L's. 15-1. Who cares about stats? I don't say it. If he just threw three passes, but all three were for touchdowns and they won the game, that's all that matters. Who cares if the other team threw 100 passes for 4 touchdowns? They lost. Stats don't matter. W's
and
L's.
The Niners have went 15-1 before too, Tony. So what that mean?
But what I'm saying is the team that you guys keep talking about is the best team of all time, the San Francisco 49ers of 89. They did not go 15-1. They went 14-2. The Chicago Bears of 85 would have beat the San Francisco 49ers of 89.
Hold on, Tony. Are we talking about the regular season or the playoffs?
I'm talking about period.
The Patriots
every Super Bowl. Think about it. Every Super Bowl champion went 3-0. Come on.
Okay, and look, But look how they went that 3-0, though. Like I said, the 78 Steelers barely won their game.
Who cares? W's and L's is all that matters. And in the clutch, that defense for the 85 Bears would have put it on that 89.
Hey, yo.
So 49.
You can't say, yo, you can't say
W's and
L's
are all that matters when you're comparing two teams.
It matters when we talk about the teams we root for. When we talk about his teams, it matters.
Whatever. I'm telling you, I take the 80. I take the 89 Bears. I mean the 85 Bears over San Francisco every time. Every time.
I'm looking at this.
Tony, you
got
to
make
a point. What about the
offense? The only good dude on this offense was Walter Payton.
Hey Tony, what about the 86 Giants though? You think 86 Giants would have hang with the 89ers? I saw how that 86 Giants pretty much almost ended Joe Montana's career.
No,
I
agree. The Giants were a good team.
He gave them a good old
they wouldn't have beat.
They
wouldn't have beat 85 Bears. Like I said, 1-2 for me is the Pittsburgh Steelers in 78. And number two would be the Bears in 85, and I will never give Dallas credit for shit. So
first of all,
there you go.
Look, let's break it down like this. Let's be real. Really, to really be called an all time team, don't you have to actually defend your title? The Bears didn't defend.
No, you don't. Come on, it don't work like that.
No.
So you
don't have to defend your title. I disagree with that theory.
Come on, now this ain't college football.
And we went 14-2 the next year, Cali Mike.
And got the crap beat out of you in the first round of the playoffs, Mike.
Nah.
Okay,
27,
how many back-to-back champions do you have? This ain't college football. It don't look like that.
The Bears. No, 80s Bears. Most overrated group ever, man. Let's stop it.
Thank you, dude. The
Bears is the most overrated ever?
Y'all didn't score nothing. 44 to nothing.
The Bears took one Super Bowl and fell off. Didn't do nothing.
It doesn't matter. In that Super Bowl, they were the best team in history.
Well, they didn't do nothing else, but they were good for another 4 years. They were good for another 4 years, but they didn't do anything after that first Super Bowl. That's right. That's true.
You got to defend your title.
But you tell me what team would have beat the 85 Bears.
Obviously.
Name the team that would have beat the 85 Bears.
Okay, let's see. Teams that would have beat the 85 Bears, the 89 Niners, the Cowboys. Pretty much any team after like the 92 Cowboys when they started having big linemen on the line would have blown those Bears.
Big quick linemen. I used to be in the stands watching Eric Williams choke Reggie White. Okay? So
Tex, are you serious about that? That's hard to believe there.
Yeah,
I can believe you blocked him.
You were in the stands watching somebody get choked.
Clausel. I remember the games vividly. I remember Reggie White losing his religion. Cussing, fussing, because Eric is clubbing him upside his head.
And what does that mean?
What does that mean? That means he need to get with it. He need to come on.
Oh, that means because you saw it, it makes it the best.
No.
That means I saw
Dallas handle some of the best defensive linemen in the history of the NFL. And I saw
okay, well then I'm older than you, and I'm still.
Eagles were better than the 85 Bears. Look at his name, all the stars we had on our team. That defense wasn't better than 85 Bears.
Yeah, what are you
Mike, you realize that offense
was
horrible?
This is the thing. Do you understand how ahead of their time the Dallas Cowboys were with 330-pound cat-quick offensive linemen with a speedy defense? Do you understand?
Okay, what are you trying to say?
You guys are crazy, man.
I don't get what you're trying to say.
Hold on, when you say they're ahead of their time, hold on. Okay, that defense, but the offense wasn't really that, like, hold on, Tex, that offense was pretty much basic. That was a basic offense, Tex. You know that's true. Come on now, Tex. It was like eye formation, you know, run the ball.
Hold on.
Yes, it was. That was basic. Yes, that Cowboys offense was basic. It was good now. Don't get me wrong now. Hold on. I'm not saying it was good.
Cowboys wasn't basic like that. The Cowboys offense is basic, but you just tried to tell me the merits of the 85 Bears offense with Jimmy Graham quarterback. Really?
Well, they just had better players. Well, the Cowboys just had a better players than everybody else. They had a basic offense, but they're Bears. The Bears probably did too. Yeah.
When Willie Gault is your threat,
but Texas is talking about. Hold on.
I'm talking about.
Like, do you know they were ahead of their time or something? Come on, man. They weren't ahead of their time.
No. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Physically. You want to go there? Yeah. Okay.
Hey.
From a size speed ratio standpoint, yes, they were.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Whatever. Right. Whatever.
That's all he got. What else? That's it? Nothing else?
Hey, Wally. What was that one year in the '70s? What was that one team? Some people thought that was the best Steelers team that didn't make it to the Super Bowl. What did
the 76 Steelers?
76 Steelers.
And what happened to the 76 Steelers? The Raiders whooped that.
They lost to the playoffs.
The Raiders whooped that. And the Raiders hit 13-1. First of all, let me tell you about the Steelers, too. By the way, while we're talking about the Steelers.
Tell me about my Steelers. I want to hear this. Tell me about my Steelers, since you know so much more than I do.
All those Super Bowls the Steelers got were the result of the league cheating and hating on the Raiders. You got the Holy Roller. Heidi Bowl. All these games where something amazing happened. Hold on, let me finish. All these games where something amazing happens, and it all happens in the favor of the Steelers in the playoffs to beat the Raiders.
Oh, wow. Did I hear a hater just open his mouth? Oh, my goodness.
How is that possible?
Can I say this, Cali Mighty in Texas? I don't know if y'all know this. I had found this out last year. Al Davis, you know, he was real cool with Chuck Noll. He was saying, why is Terry Bradshaw? Why are you not starting Terry Bradshaw other than, I think, Lattimore? He said, he's a guy I can win for. He can start. By him opening his big mouth, he decided to go with Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw went out of Pittsburgh. He said, you know, you're welcome to go to the Raiders. He went to Al Davis on it. Al Davis said, you know, he's comfortable with the quarterbacks. He got, you already got enough. I got enough problems with quarterbacks and stuff like that. I don't need you then.
Like I said, for me, number one goes to the 78 Steelers, number two goes to the 85 Bears, and number three goes to the 72 Dolphins.
Oh, my God. 72 Dolphins?
72 Dolphins undefeated. Until somebody else does it, them boys deserve it.
And I put several teams over that 72 Dolphins team.
Look, until somebody else does it, they deserve it.
The 70 Steelers were all built off of cheating. Immaculate reception.
Hater.
But you can't explain any of that, though. All these
hater. You just mad because them sorry-ass Raiders couldn't make it. They couldn't get over the hump.
They did in 76 when they beat you guys' brains out, and that was the best Super Bowl team ever.
Okay, that's one. That's one. Come on now. How many times did the Pittsburgh Steelers prostitute out the Raiders? Come on.
Without cheating?
No, don't call it cheat. Y'all been on the bottom of the Pittsburgh Steelers for years.
Have you noticed that the Raiders is the only team where they make up rules in the middle of the game to affect the game?
You know what? If you want to look back at homosexuality in the NFL, the Raiders been getting screwed by the Steelers since the 60s.
Like I said, all results are cheating.
Whatever, dude. Y'all been bent over by the Pittsburgh Steelers since the 60s.
All results are cheating, but like I say, that's all.
So Mike,
the Raiders got their revenge in 76. What, Mike?
Y'all played the Jets, though. I mean, what was one of those playoff games where y'all benefit of a call where she could have went the other way, where it was a call that kind of went in your favor?
Yeah, the Tuck rule.
I can definitely say that game in New England, y'all should have went to the Super Bowl. Now, I give you
that. I'm not talking about that one. Yeah, that one, the Tuck thing.
Yeah, y'all should have went to the Super Bowl on that one because they cheated y'all out of that one.
Half of it, like I say, the Raiders are the only team where they come up with rules in the middle of the game to defeat them, and it's always against
whatever,
them.
Dude.
Look,
ain't
like
nobody
say,
trying to hear that.
Can you tell me, you sound like the kid that always comes in second
wanting the trophy. Come on now.
Whatever. It's been proven.
Ain't nobody trying to hear all that.
But anyway, I want to get back to these 85 Bears. I mean, honestly, like I say, I've looked at it. I've listened to people talk about this before, but I mean, this team though, I just think that they were a good team that year, and I'll give them that. But I can't say that they were the best of anything. Like I say, just not with that offense, man. I mean, honestly, let's say this: the league wasn't even much of a passing league like it is now, though, Kelly Mike. Would you honestly take
them
over the 2002 Buccaneers?
But you can't compare eras because the game changed.
Yeah, I take them over
2002
Buccaneers. That 2002 Buccaneers team wasn't really all that.
And all of this passing, West Coast passing, you can't compare that to the 80s. Just smack. Run football. It's different eras. You cannot compete.
He just now.
Oh,
you just
different
now
eras.
Beat the 90s.
Yeah,
he just did. He just did.
I'm not talking about the whole.
One of them
that's just like
the ball.
Saying, you know. Come on, any of these teams in this era right now is going to be faster, stronger, bigger than any teams of the 60s and 70s.
We're talking about the 89 Niners was a passing offense. I think they would have tore that. I think they would have tore the Bears up, personally.
Okay, but what I'm saying to you is, the St. Louis Rams of this year would have probably beat the Super Bowl champion of 1972. Why? Because they are bigger, faster, stronger. It's a different game today.
Yeah, but either way, like I said, I don't think those teams you named were that good. I mean, the 78 Steelers, yeah, they were good, but I mean, I'll give it up to you for the Steelers. They were a good, complete team. I really can't hate on them that much, you know, besides, you know, the fact they cheated, you know, but they were a good, complete team. I'm being real. They had an excellent offense and they had an excellent defense. I definitely put them in my top five teams of all time. But that 85
Bears. The 78 Steelers should be at the top of your list.
I mean, like I said, I don't know. I mean, I'd have to look closer at it to really decide who would be my number one. But like I said, I know I can't put the 85 Bears in the top five, not with that offense. I just can't. I can't even call the defense the best over a single season ever.
I can't even call that defense.
I mean,
I got to
really,
get that to
really.
The 2000 Ravens. I got to get
exactly.
that to the 2000 Ravens.
Well,
and then I got to talk about the 2002 Bucks.
Exactly.
The 2002
exactly.
Bucks, I can't put the 2002 Bucks up there.
Oh.
In terms of defense, I don't put them up there. I think they had better defenses. Oh, no. They had better defenses other than 2002, like that 2000 Bucks team.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, the team that almost beat St. Louis, that defense was better than that 2002 team.
That defense wasn't that good.
Are you kidding me?
The 2002 Buccaneers defense was scoring touchdowns. They was an offense.
No, but that 2000 Bucks defense, you remember when St. Louis was, like, blowing out everybody, man, that season, and then they couldn't beat the Bucks on Monday night?
I don't know about that. That's another good team we didn't look at, those St. Louis Rams teams. There were some pretty good teams in, too, but go ahead, Waldo.
2002 Bucks, Clauzel took their defense to another level.
John Gruden challenged them, man.
No.
Yes, they did.
No, they
yes, don't.
What are you talking about,
did.
Man? They were struggling
no,
the whole year. They were struggling the whole year, and they found it out in the playoffs.
No,
yeah.
They had, they added Simeon Rice in 2001, carried it over to 2002, and they started scoring touchdowns. John Gruden said, okay, you guys are good. You're really, really good, but let's do better. Let's go score touchdowns. And that's what they went and did. Something they didn't do in 1999.
No.
Yeah.
No. The 99 Rams would have beat the 2002.
You crazy.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, crazy, man. 2002 Bucks, man. They didn't give up anything, man.
The 99
yes,
Rams.
What are you talking about, man? They didn't even make to get the number one seed. What you, yes, they did. Okay, whatever.
Goodness.
Whatever, man.
The 99 Rams would have beat them. Kurt Warner would have ate them up.
Crazy. The same Rams team was the same one they had in 2002, basically, on offense.
No,
right?
No. It wasn't the same team.
Yeah, it was.
No basically
yeah, it
to
was.
It. No basically
nah,
to
it.
No,
it was the same offense, same offense.
Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, Bruce. Who
Hakeem?
Was Hakeem?
Torrey Holt.
Boy, that
same
boy is
99.
Mad.
Same as 99.
Then boy, Torrey Holt.
Same as 99.
Mad. I'm telling you, there is no way the 2002 Bucks would have beat that 99 Rams team. That was the beginning of the West Coast offense.
Did you hear that, Kelly Mike? Did you hear that?
You hear what he's talking about, man? No.
He said that was, hey, Kelly Mike, you heard that. He said that was the beginning of the West Coast offense. Wow.
I'm talking about spread it out and throw it. Forget about all of that defense. Spread them out and throw it.
Man, I don't know what this dude is talking about.
Why should I stop you now? Go ahead.
Spread it out and throw it.
That popped my eye right there. I was like,
that started with the Rams.
No.
Who did it before the Rams?
Buffalo Bills? Buffalo was like that with the no-huddle offense, man.
Who ran a West Coast offense before the Rams?
Who did it before the Rams?
The 49ers?
Ann Coryell did it for San Diego, but that is, I think that's where the Rams got it from. Ann Coryell did it in the
80s. They did.
Wait, Ann Coryell did it in the 80s with the San Diego Chargers, but I'm talking about since then, you named the team that aired it out and won a Super Bowl. You can't name one. The St. Louis Rams is the first team that won a Super Bowl because of their offense and not their defense.
No, they had a good defense that year. What are you talking about, man? They had a really good defense that year.
Yeah,
they
did, but they didn't win it because of their defense. They won it because of their offense.
I don't know about the Rams.
What
year
are you talking about?
The Rams defense was very good that year.
That
I think
wasn't even
like
they, that's there was a Coryell as you know, first off, let's get this straight. We need to know what we're talking about. Bill Walsh, that's West Coast. Coryell is a vertical offense. I'm not understanding why all this stuff is.
Oh, so you gonna tell me the San Diego Chargers on a damn West Coast offense? Where is San Diego?
No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, a Coryell offense attack.
Okay, it may not be called West Coast, but he was the one that started airing the ball out before San Francisco or Joe Montana.
Listen, no, Coryell. It was Coryell's offense was a vertically integrated scheme. West Coast moved.
And he was the first to do it. He was the first to go up there and throw on all three downs. He was the first coach in the NFL to do it.
Houston used to run that, what was it, K-Gun or whatever it's called?
Houston wasn't even
shoot,
in the
run
league.
K-Gun was Buffalo.
They were winning one and two games a year. What are you talking about?
Houston used to be the worst team in the NFL.
Okay, here. Houston in the early 90s, Miami Dolphins in the
80s. I'm not talking about in the early 90s. I'm talking the Houston Oilers. We are talking about Eric Coryell from the 70s and 80s. We ain't talking about no 90s.
A vertical offense.
He was the first vertical offense in the NFL.
Well,
the San Diego Chargers in the early 80s had Eric Coryell with Dan Fouts, and they were the first vertical offense in the NFL. You look it up.
What you just called.
I was there. You was in diapers. I was there. I watched.
No, it don't matter. No, but you don't know much about scheme, dog.
Hey, Tony, you called that a West Coast offense. That wasn't called a West Coast offense,
but he is the first coach that said, I am going to make the forward pass the primary offensive scheme of my team. He is the first coach to do it.
Associated with a West Coast offense.
West Coast is more laterally. West Coast is like short passes. Their completion percentages were lower
because they were so vertical. Because they weren't lateral like a Bill Walsh West Coast offense. Come on, man.
I'm sorry. If we are going to get into semantics, let me
correct myself.
When I think of West Coast offense, I think of throwing the ball all the time.
Don Coryell was the first quarterback to take a team
and throw the ball all the time. So your definition of West Coast is different from my definition of West Coast. Because when I think of West Coast, I think of the damn West Coast. San Diego Chargers.
Look at him. He's trying to clean, he's doing damage control. But we just think.
No, I'm telling you how I see it. When I think West Coast, I think California and San Francisco and San Diego are West Coast. And I can tell you the first team to go out throwing the ball was Don Coryell, Dan Fouts, and the San Diego Chargers. Now, you look that up and find your stats and see if I'm not right.
No, I don't have to look it up because I know. I know about Coryell. I know about
Walsh. I don't have to know. I was there. I was watching football. You weren't watching football.
You
can look at your stats all you want. I was watching football.
Yeah, but I understand the concepts. I understand them.
Yeah, you understand what the stats say, and you understand what you
see
on NFL film.
Are we
going to
do that? Hey, can we talk one at a time, guys?
All right.
I watch it every Sunday.
Can we talk one at a time, please?
Okay. I understand. I understand about the Coryell scheme. I understand Bill Walsh's West Coast scheme. I didn't have to be alive in 1973 or whatever and be there.
No, it wasn't no 70s when Coryell was doing that.
Well, whatever. I just named I just put a year out there. You know what I'm saying? My point is I didn't have to be alive then to know and understand the offense. I know,
but you
what the offense does. To see it is to believe it.
You think that what you see today is the greatest football you've ever seen. What I saw back then was people that didn't have referees protecting them.
Okay, well,
that's what I saw.
You know,
real
Tony,
football, real break your neck football, real defense.
Yeah, but now you see skill. Now you see skill. You see how that works? You see skill now. Everybody is skilled. Everybody's versatile. It's better than it was back then. But, again, Coryell had nothing to do with a West Coast offense. Just remember,
like I said, you were getting into the semantics of the definition. Coryell was the first team to air the ball out.
That's what it was.
Tony, that's not Tony,
that's
not semantics, though. That's you making the point
on
something totally wrong.
Okay, and like I said, I got the wrong definition of West Coast offense. But when I think West Coast, I think California, and I'm talking about Don Coryell, who was in Southern California, San Diego, and he is the first team to air the ball out. So that is where I come up with the idea of West Coast offense.
Well, that's
no. Actually, I think the 49ers were the first team to air it out.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, back when they had Y.A. Tittle, they used to call it the alley-oop for him and R.C. Owens. I think he was the first quarterback to air it out.
I promise you, Don Coryell changed NFL football with the forward pass and Dan Fouts. I guarantee it.
I think those Minnesota teams in the 70s used to run a pass-first offense, too, I believe, with Fran Tarkenton.
That's why they called him Air Coryell, because he changed the dynamics of football.
Okay, let me
he changed it from a run game to a pass game in a time and in an era where it was all about the running backs. Dan Fouts, what's his name? Joyner? Is it Joyner?
Yeah, he got a Joyner.
Winslow, Joyner, those guys. They changed the game. Kelvin Winslow's dad changed the game.
I'll agree until I can find something proving you otherwise.
Okay, like I said, I was there. I watched them games every Sunday.
It was
at that time, that was the biggest thing. Everybody wanted to watch San Diego. Why? Because they were the one team that wasn't just handing it off and running the ball first down, running the ball second down, and you only throw it on third down to get a first down. He was throwing the ball every down, first, second, third, and it was exciting. People loved it. Why? Because it was different than what everybody else was doing.
Okay. Well,
and they called him Air Coryell.
But we didn't. It had nothing to do with the West Coast, though.
Oh, it did. All
right, man. Let's just move on, man. Let's just move on.
Let's get to
the Super Bowl, man. Before we get to the Super Bowl,
what was he coaching?
Hold up. Before we get to the Super Bowl, let's talk about the Northwestern. It's a football union. We can talk about that real quick. What's your take on that? Let me start with you, Tex. Not Tex, but Wiley. What's your take on Northwestern creating a college football players union?
I have a real issue with that.
Why?
I have a real issue with that. And the reason why I have a real issue with that is because young people have fame and fortune in their minds. And because they have this fame and fortune in their minds, you let them get in a union, and they are going to change the whole dynamics of college athletics, because they're going to start demanding money. They're going to start demanding things that you are not supposed to be getting as a college athlete. You are there to go to school. You are not there just to be on a damn football team. And that is what upsets me about athletes in today's colleges. You are there first as a college student. You are not there first as a football player. And if you don't want to get your grades up and you don't want to go to school, then your ass needs to be back at home, because you are not going to just use my school to get to the NFL. You are going to use my school to get an education.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, they are giving these schools millions of dollars, Tony.
Yeah.
Who's giving these schools millions of dollars?
The football team.
Athletic department.
And the basketball team.
Okay, but at the same time, the purpose of the athletics is to heighten the education. You need to stay focused. Y'all can say whatever you want. I am a college instructor, and I am never going to let you tell me that sports is more important than your education, because none of them will be able to play sports until they're 65.
I don't think anybody said that, though. Nobody's saying that.
Well, I'm just saying there is no way you should let
some union come and let these 18-year-olds start dictating to educators about
what they need to do because of their athletic program.
Let's look at the flip side of what you just said, though. None of them will be able to play football until they're 65. They only have a short period of doing it, so shouldn't they get paid for it while they can?
Not in college, they shouldn't.
Why?
Because in college, your focus is not profit. That's just like shit.
Yes, it is.
Let's take it. Shouldn't they get paid for it? Look at all the money that the high schools make. Let's move it on down to middle school. Shouldn't they get paid? Look at all the money the middle schools make. Let's take it down to Pop Warner. Look at all the money that Pop Warner makes. Shouldn't you start paying those kids' parents?
That's insane.
Okay, what you're saying is insane.
You're talking about paying children. First of all, there's no comparison to college football money and high school football money. Second of all, you're talking about paying people.
Oh, you are so wrong. You are so wrong. I promise. Tech, would you tell this man, I guarantee you in Texas, there is high school football makes more money or as much money as the colleges combined. I guarantee you. But I'm talking about just people coming to the stands, people buying stuff, people participating, people buying shirts and shoes. And I guarantee you high school football is just as big in some states as college football.
I'm going to go ahead and say that the University of Texas and the University of Notre Dame make as much money as all the college football programs in the country combined.
Agreed.
That's because University of Notre Dame sells out to the media. That's why they got the whole Notre Dame on television every single Saturday. They're the only team in America that's on television every single Saturday.
That's two colleges. That's two universities. I'm gonna say that make more money than all. It might not even be close. Maybe I think University of Texas probably make more money than all these schools combined in the country anyway by itself. That's just one school. What they said they had University of Texas made what $800 million last year and it was like $850 million and like Notre Dame was like right behind them with like $800 million. That's over $1 billion. You mean to tell me high school football is messing with $1 billion? Really?
Again, you are adding in advertising and media, and I'm talking about just athletic.
So basically you want to take away the biggest part of the pie then.
Well, what I'm saying is, do athletics, high school football, there are more people that go watch their son play on Friday night than watch somebody play on Saturday afternoon. I guarantee it.
Probably not.
I don't know about that.
No.
I'm not going to agree with that. You don't think...
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that don't have children that don't go to high school football games. But what I'm saying is...
And they go to college football games.
What I'm saying is, when you look at the... I mean, of course you can't compare college football to high school as far as money. College football is going
to
make more money because they can do more things. You can't do that to an under 18-year-old person. You can't treat children that are under 18 the way that you can treat adults over 18. Once you get over 18, you can profit off of them. You can't profit off those children under 18.
You're the one who made that comparison. I said there is no comparison.
As far as money, there is no comparison, really, because if you add in the media, that's like you said, the pie. College football is one piece of the pie, whereas the media is 17 pieces of the same pie.
All right, hold on. Let me bring in Matt here. Matt, what you guys say?
Hey, y'all. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah.
What's going on,
Matt?
Hey, I got to be brief tonight. But I talked about this because I've given this a lot of thought, because this whole forum that we're speaking on now in the current form kind of was pushed. I know y'all used to talk about it when y'all were an undergraduate, FAMU, but it also pushed from the lecture series. And this used to be the debate, that we would stem away from political and social topics and talk about sports every year. So where I was originally for pay for play, it has kind of evolved. I don't think these college athletes should get paid to play. I think they should be able to get paid for their likeness. If they want to, at a non-sanctioned school event, sign autographs for money, that's up to them. If Nike wants to hire them to be in a commercial, that's up to them. It should be not against the rules. It's not fair for these athletes not to be able to make money off their name on non-school sanctioned events. That is not fair. I think that's where they're being exploited. However, as far as playing football, that is their choice to play football. They get a scholarship. They get stipends for food. They get a lot. Well, let me put it this
way. They are getting
out of 100, hold on, Wiley. Out of 105 players on just football, we're talking about football, 105 players, 80 of them have scholarships. 45 of those are full, 35 is partial. That means 25 kids on the team, they'll get squat, they'll walk-ons. Those are the kids I'm actually more worried about, so I think that they should expand it some way to provide an athletic cafeteria for them so they have food that's always available, and also include the housing. Now, books, tuition, stipends on top of that, I don't think if you're walking on, obviously that was a choice you made. So, but I think that they should help those students along, those student athletes along a little bit more to add, to include them in the realm of athletes. But allowing them, if you allow them to make money off their likeness, it doesn't matter if they're being paid to play. But they should. They're already getting paid. And then here's a big point I bring up last night. I'll use Alabama again as the example. This is in 2008. The revenue that Alabama bring in was $123.6 million. The expenses that they put out, their cost, $123.3 million. They profited a grand total of $300,000. Now, if we treat these kids, and we're just going to do some basic math here real quick, if we treat these kids as like student assistants, give them 20 hours a week, pay at $10 an hour, you know, that's $200 a week per kid, 105 kids, a little over $21,000 there. You're looking for just your football team for the year, for 1 year. You're looking at over a million. It's $1,092,000 or $1,092,000. So tell me where exactly you're going to get that. Now, if they unionize the players and make them employees, the way they're going to change it, so the scholarships and stuff they get, if they still get them, it'll now be taxable income. Right now, that is not taxable income for students. And you have to also look at how do boosters give money. That's also going to now be taxable income. It's going to be looked at differently, how they can allocate those funds. Unionizing players changes the whole landscape of college sports and professional sports as we know it. I'm completely and utterly against it. I mean, think about that ramifications. You're adding, let's just say, the 120 schools, just football teams, you're looking at 23,000 brand new jobs that are created overnight by that happening. And at a low wage, think now, look what that's doing to the economy. The average income has just dropped dramatically because of expanding out to so many small wage jobs. You've effectively increased inflation just by adding that many low wage jobs.
Bravo. Bad idea. It's a bad idea to unionize 18-year-olds. It's a bad idea.
I gotta go, y'all.
I mean, you can go to Walmart. But I mean, you can go to a grocery store and get unionized at 18. So I mean, it's not like I said. I don't know if a union is the answer, because you know then you have situations with strikes and stuff like that. All I know is that these kids do need to start getting paid for what they're doing.
These kids are getting paid, Mike. What are you talking about? They get stipends. They get free rent. They get free room and board. They get clothes. They get food. They are getting paid. They're not paying for nothing their entire time they're in school.
That's a scholarship.
So how are they not getting paid? They are getting paid.
That's a scholarship.
Yeah, but they're not getting paid what they're worth.
What do you mean what they're worth?
They're not getting paid what they're worth.
Are you forgetting that they are college students?
Tony, if you if just
they're the only college students on that campus that are getting paid for everything they do on that campus. The only ones. How do you think everybody else feels on that campus? 95% of the campus has to pay themselves.
Yeah, but they're not bringing in millions of dollars to the university, though. The rest of those 95%
those
of the people are not bringing in millions of dollars to the university.
Tony, other kids are getting scholarships and financial aid, too. It ain't like the football players is the only ones that ain't paying to go to school. Second of all, the NCAA
but
is a billion
those other kids industry. Are not getting all of the extras. If you – guys, I'm telling you, I can't ever say this on the radio show, but I'm telling you, those football players are getting more than you want to know. I'm telling you. I'm not going to get into it, but I'm telling you, those football players get more than you would ever imagine.
Oh, yeah, of course, but we need to legalize it, though, man. Make it legal. You know, of course they're getting money under the table. We know that.
They're getting legal stuff. Like, for example, a clothing allowance. Those kids get clothing allowances. No other student on those campuses get clothing allowances. Those kids have shorts, sweaters, jackets, shoes.
Yeah, with the university name on it.
Given to them.
Yeah, with the university name on it.
And they don't own that stuff, Tony, they don't own that stuff.
Shit, they don't own it.
Well, why did
who else is
going to
wear it after they stop wearing it?
Yeah, of course, yeah. If I'm taking gym class in high school, of course the school's going to give me a shirt. With my gym shirt.
Why did Terrell Pryor and them get suspended for selling their own jerseys in if they own that stuff?
Okay, I'm not talking jerseys. You don't went somewhere else. You're missing the point.
I'm telling you that those guys get a whole lot more than their jerseys. You're talking warm-ups. You're talking shoes, cleats, stuff like that. That's all athletic stuff.
No, not just cleats. Not just cleats.
Yeah,
not just
shoes, cleats.
They get every day wearing clothes to be able to wear.
No, for free. Hell no.
Where everybody else has to go down to the store and buy that same stuff. Out of their financial aid, or their mama has to pay for it, or they have to pay for it, these guys get it for free.
You're talking about school. You're talking
about because the endorsement.
School.
Hold up, they're sponsors. Hold up. No, they're
you're
like
talking about
they're Nike.
Don't have advantages.
No.
They are getting paid
Nike
because
gives them
the things
stuff.
That the other students have to pay for, they don't have to pay for, and they get. So that in itself is a payment.
Because Nike gives them money to wear their stuff. So Nike will give them the sweatpants, the shoes, and all that stuff. I don't understand.
Okay,
it's not just Nike, whatever sports company will do it.
But it doesn't change the fact that they're getting it and the other students aren't getting it, and the people
at the top, hold on, see
them simply as students of that college. And you got to stop treating certain students other students. Because I'm telling you as a student, you better give me the same damn shit you're giving them if they get it for free and I'm paying the same damn tuition. It's my college too. I'm as much a fucking Gator as the quarterback on the team.
Yeah, but he's part of an institution that's bringing a lot of money to the university and you're not. That's the thing.
Yeah, as a regular student.
What do you mean
people,
I'm not bringing a lot of money
to
this? My degree Florida Gator helps my college. I am alumni. I'm part of the alumni association. I pay dues. over the years, you got to realize that 4 years, if he don't go on to the NFL, he ain't done nothing else for the Florida Gators. He ain't done nothing else for the Tennessee Vols. He ain't done nothing else. But
so Michael,
as a person who graduated, pay alumni dues for the rest of my life. And I promise you, I can do
anything
for
Florida?
The Florida Gators as the person who played 4 years on that football team.
Tim Tebow didn't do anything for Florida. Tommy Frazier didn't do anything for Nebraska. Is that what you're trying to say?
What I'm saying to you is, what the hell is Tommy doing for Nebraska right
now? The whole gym center for University of Miami, didn't he? He just now built a whole weight room for them.
Who? Okay, that's because he is a famous person. You are naming one damn person out of a million people that have graduated from the University of Miami.
But you're not listening. One famous person can pay for the same stuff that a thousand
people can. Okay, but you can't justify giving all of the athletes something because you get one that becomes famous.
Let me tell you something. Look at Oklahoma State. T. Boone Pickens did not give them $150 billion for regular students. He gave them $150 million for football.
Well, like I said, you can argue what you want. But as a college professor, I'm telling you that in college, education is the most important thing, and no, an athlete should not be able to unionize and monopolate anything. And that's the end of my argument. You can argue what you want. Argue what you want.
Telling you, I am. Apparently, everybody's telling you different because it's happening. Okay, nobody, you're talking about.
Argue what, that's because you guys only see it from the athletic side. You are not looking at it from the academic side. A college is an academic institution first.
Parzay is a professor. He sees things the same way. So, I mean, what are you talking about? Anybody, it doesn't take a certain type of person to have an open mind to see things a certain way. You just have a closed mind.
Again, you say what you want to say. 18-year-olds don't have the right to tell the rest of that damn college what they can do just because they want to get rich.
They're not. They're
so
not.
You
they
say
just
what
want
you
to get their own money.
I'm going with no unions, so you can move on.
They're not. They're just talking about no. They're just wanting to get their own money. They're not trying to tell the rest of the school anything. They're trying to get
how many
over
other
money.
Students get their own money?
All right, man, let's move on to the Super Bowl, yo.
How many other students get their own money? Don't nobody want to hear that shit? You got 100,000 students on a team. You got 100 students that's telling the other 99,000 that they're better than them. No, you are a student
like all the
other students.
Are you in a college football game? Are you in a college basketball game?
I am an instructor at a college, and I'm telling you,
okay,
the football player should not
EA,
be treated
EA.
Better than the damn little girl that comes into the room and goes to her biology class every day.
EA Sports is not putting you on the cover of NCAA 2015, are they?
And EA Sports ain't putting the other 99 damn people on that football team on it either, but they're getting the products and they're getting the advantages as if they are.
So, that's their money.
You
why
got
you
one damn person
it?
on the front of that cover. You shouldn't be giving the other 120 the same thing as that one person. Once you bait it, you can get whatever you want. But in college, you are a college student.
You're yelling so loud you're not even letting me talk. Those other 120 kids are in the game too, bro. You're not in the game as a regular student.
Okay, but they don't deserve anything better than the other college students.
Well, let's just move on
to
the Super Bowl, y'all. I'm ready to move on.
Nobody's buying NCAA
2015. Yeah, it's not going to be working.
I want to play with Tony Watley at quarterback. Yeah. They're not doing that. They want to play in, you know, play with the guy. Anyway, like I said, let's move on. That's something that's going to happen anyway, no matter how loud people
it's
want
to
go.
It's not
going to
happen.
Like I said, it's something that's already happening. We just didn't take it up here on this show. It's already happening. But anyway,
I guarantee you the SEC will not unionize its students. I guarantee it.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Now, let's move on to Super Bowl coverage. Go ahead, Clauso.
Yeah, so who do you guys – okay, let's go to our Super Bowl coverage here. And we want to know – we want to get our predictions. We want to know why you predict this team. Let's start with Chi-Town here. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl and why?
I said the pick before even it all came together. on that Sunday. I think Denver is destined to be it. I'm not sold on Seattle's offense. I just think Russell Wilson hadn't played his best in the postseason. Made some plays, but still he hasn't played to the level I think he needs to play in the postseason. And I don't see him getting it done in the Super Bowl now in the biggest stage of his career. And, you know, you're going against Peyton Manning. Their defense is good, but they're not the 2000 Ravens or the 85 Bears. So I think, you know, Peyton Manning.
85 Bears.
Yes, Kelly Mike.
That was like that West Coast offense comment. That was hilarious. But anyway.
So they give, you know, Peyton Manning so many chances out there. You know, you give the man 2 weeks, and, you know, he's already that Broncos offense is something, man. And I think Peyton Manning, he's going to find a way and get it going. He's going to have to powerfully play his best Super Bowl compared to the other two Super Bowls he played. I think the game's gonna be pretty good.
That is hilarious.
And after a while, Denver's just gonna pull away. I think Denver's gonna beat them. I'm already gonna say the score. I think the Denver Broncos 35 and the Seattle Seahawks 17. Hey, Manny,
wow.
Super Bowl MVP.
I got Seattle in a very close game, 17-14. I think Peyton Manning's gonna struggle the whole game. I think all the receivers Denver has, it's going to be shut down. They won't be able to run the ball. It'll be a stalemate for about two quarters. There'll be a big play, maybe by Percy Harvin. Marshawn Lynch may break a run. And I think, you know, towards the end, they'll catch up. Denver will catch up a little bit, but it won't be enough. So I got Seattle 17-14 based off the defense. Let's start with you. Let's go with you, Cali Mike.
I got Seattle, you know, just because, like I said, I think, you know, they got a lot of momentum right now. You know, they got Richard Sherman back there. He's, you know, he's cold right now. He's going to come out hungry. I think he's going to shut down D. Thomas. And, you know, I think them cats are going to come to play. They also have Marshawn Lynch, who just happens to be from a large metropolitan city that I'm also from,
oh,
too.
Oh, wow. Here we
and
go.
Dudes from that city know how to play ball, and we know how to go into beast mode.
You ain't from Oakland, man. You from the suburbs.
And I think he's gonna go into beast mode.
From the suburbs, man.
Oakland has suburbs. Anyway, suburbs only exist in areas where you're from. Anyway,
admit it though, you are
from the beast mode.
I don't know. Man, Thomas is a different breed in Crabtree, Cali Mike.
He grew up in a 5-bedroom house with a.
He damn Skippy, I did. He's going to go into beast mode.
I'm from the hood.
He's going to go into beast mode, and he's going to run all over these Denver Broncos to show you how things go. It's going to be a Seattle all the way. I got Seattle winning, I'll say, 24-17.
All right, let's go with you, Watley. Let's go with you, Wiley.
You know, from before the season even started, I told you it was going to be Seattle. Before the season started. So don't nobody say I jumped on a bandwagon. I said this before the season started.
You also said it was going to be New England, so keep going.
Okay, but I said in the Super Bowl, Seattle was going to win it. So I have been going for Seattle from the very beginning. So, anyway, this is why. Well, you know, first and foremost, that Peyton Manning, to me, always falls in the crunch. That is a proven, you back all you want, Peyton Manning always falls in the crunch. Secondly, Peyton Manning is depending, and Denver is depending on a throwing offense, and they are going up against the best secondary in NFL football, period. And that throwing offense is going to get shut down. Thirdly, the thing that is really going to hurt Denver is that Peyton Manning has bad ankles. And when it comes down to where he ain't got nowhere to throw, he is a pocket quarterback, and he cannot take off running. And because he cannot take off running, that is going to limit that Denver Bronco offense. And I think that with Marshawn Lynch and Wilson in the background, in the backfield, you have two running options that both that the Denver Bronco offense is going to have to try to figure out and look for, and I think they're going to get exposed, and Seattle wins the game 30-24.
All right, Tex, man, let's get your expertise on this. What's good?
I have Denver. I think
what's the score, though, Bob? What score?
I think they'll beat Seahawks by 10 plus. I'm gonna say about 33-19. I think Denver will beat San Francisco by 10 plus. I think New England would have got blown out by Seattle or San Francisco. But I think the Broncos, the thing about the Broncos is that And here's what's working for the Seahawks is that they're really basic. They're basic defense. They don't do a whole bunch of stuff. They cover on the back end. They're three over the top, four under. They don't get popcorn rush. They get rushing waves. But I got to go with Denver because Denver has the best pass-blocking offensive line in the league. They have the best offensive line in the league. They have however many weapons they need to neutralize certain areas on the field and isolate certain players that the Seahawks have, notably Richard Sherman, in a place where they cannot have an impact. When Denver goes three, when they go trips to one side with Marino in the backfield, Julius Thomas over on the other hash by himself, who do you cover him with? Are you going to walk a corner out there? You're going to have a corner out on Thomas? Are you going to – is KJ Wright walking out? Is the linebacker walking out on there? It's a tough matchup for Seattle. They run this zone, but, Sherman is probably not going to be on Demaryius Thomas for the entire game. He's a left cornerback. They don't move him like Revis moves or like Patrick Peterson moves. He stays over there on the left side. Bam, Sherman's neutralized. You can still hit their zone concepts on that side. And you can keep Sherman right there in his place. You can force Cam Chancellor to make the plays that will have to, that will have to be decisive in beating the Broncos. And the same goes for KJ Wright walking out on Julius Thomas. Nobody owns the scene like Denver does with Wes Welker and Julius Thomas. Earl Thomas is a great safety with range. He bites. You can get him peeking up. You can get him biting. Cam Chancellor, you can expose him in coverage. And with all this basic stuff they do, they better be careful because Manning, if he knows your coverage before the snap, you're dead. I know John.
Man, you sound ridiculous.
If you're going to cut in, you have to talk football, and you have to talk scheme. You have to talk,
okay,
man.
But you've been talking a lot longer than the rest of
us. Hey, let him finish, Wiley. Let him finish, man. You got to let the guy finish.
I was listening to John Lynch earlier, and John Lynch was saying he was talking about Manning, and he was talking about a conversation that he had with him, and he was like, Lynch was as smart in the cerebral as they come, and he was talking about how Manning used to break him down. Lynch would talk about how he would break himself down
as a player, how he would break his other teammates down on the Bucks as players, and then he would go and he would talk to Peyton and find out how Peyton broke him down. And this is just a little tell-alls, just a little subtle tell-alls. You know, Peyton started breaking him down. He was like, oh, I knew this is what you were doing because, oh, this is how you were slouched over. Or your hips were this way. Your feet were set at this certain point. And Seattle DBs are creatures of habit. Sherman, Chancellor, Earl Thomas, and Maxwell. So these guys are going to have to be sharp. They're going to have to not tip their hands because even setting their feet a certain way is going to give away the coverage. It's going to give away the scheme. You understand what I'm saying? So I got Denver because I think Denver is sharp offensively. They have a top seven run defense. You know, people, you know, they think Marshawn Lynch is just gonna run all over. I mean, Denver, they not punks defensively. I think people, you know, this New England team that they just beat was beating people's heads in with the run game with four running backs for 8 weeks. And then Denver comes along and smacks them in the mouth. So, I mean, it's, you know, I just think people, you know, it's just too many things to defend. And I don't think the Seahawks are elaborate enough to really get after Peyton Manning. And Denver is a patient offense. They'll run the ball 30 times if they have to. So I'm going with Denver. I'm going to say 33-19, something like that.
All right. Wiley, what's your response?
Now, first and foremost, what I'm saying to you is what he just said makes Seattle sound like a bunch of damn robots that just can't move and can't do nothing different than they've done all year. They've had the same damn 2 weeks that Peyton Manning's had. You don't think they can change this scheme? You don't think that they can go from that zone to going to a one-on-one? And you don't think that they can tell Sherman that you are going to be on Thomas? I don't care what side of the field he's on. You don't think they can do that?
Did you hear what I said? They are creatures of habit.
Okay, but they can change their habits. They're not robots.
You don't change. You're not changing anything. They're a cover three team.
Oh, my God. You sound ridiculous. You sound ridiculous.
I sound ridiculous.
They're doing what they've always done. Of course they get beat if they went out there and did what's already on film already. Come on. Think about that.
Tony, they keep saying the same thing I just said.
You act like they're going to go out there and just do exactly what's on film already that they don't let Denver see for two whole weeks and plan against. You think they're just going to go out there and do that so that Peyton Manning can pick them apart? They ain't that damn stupid.
You don't understand game planning. It doesn't even matter. That's what the Seahawks are. That's what they do. They're a basic defense anyway.
So you're going to tell me that the head coach or the defensive coordinator can't say, Richard Sherman, I don't care where Demaryius Thomas is on the field. That's your man. You going to tell me he can't
do
that because
that's
they're so stuck
they
in a rhythm?
That's not what Pete Carroll and Dan can
do. See, you're ridiculous.
No, I'm not ridiculous because they've said that's not what they do.
You don't know what they do? How the hell do you know
what
they
do?
They ain't played yet.
That's not what they want to do because that would give everything away. That would bring them out of their identity, out of their defensive identity.
Oh, my God.
You understand
how
important
that is?
When
you are talking nonsense. They are playing for the Super Bowl. They are not playing to be the best same team all year long. They're playing to win, and they're going to do whatever they got to do to win. And if that means putting Sherman on Demaryius Thomas everywhere he goes on that field, then I guarantee you that's what they're going to do. I don't care what they did all damn year.
That's not
what they will do. That's not what they will do.
I think Demaryius Thomas will win that matchup, by the way.
I don't think Demaryius Thomas is going to win that matchup. I don't see why you would think that.
He's bigger.
He's probably not going to be lined over him about
maybe about 5 or 6 times the whole game.
Yeah, only because Sherman can't leave that left-hand side, right? That is just ignorant. What you're saying is ignorant. That's what I'm saying. Hey, Tony. Okay. Hey, let's bring it up. Tony, Tony, Tony. Come on. How many times? You're saying Sherman has to be on the left-hand side, and it doesn't matter what happens. He ain't going to leave that left-hand side. And if you put trips on the other side, Demaris is going to be away from him, and he's going to be stuck over there on the left-hand side. Like he can't move. No, he won't. Are you kidding? How many times
will Demaryius Thomas line up over Richard Sherman? Or actually, how many times will Richard Sherman line up over Demaryius Thomas?
Who knows? But what I'm saying to you is, you are saying Sherman is not going to leave that left-hand side.
He's not.
Seattle does the same thing every single time. You don't think they had the same 2 weeks to prepare for Denver that Denver had to prepare for them? Come on. They're going to make some changes.
Okay, Tony, this is where you talk loud and you don't, you know, you don't use football terms, man. This is where you do that. You know, you use football terms when you talk to me, my man. He's going to be at the left cornerback because that's what he is. That's Seattle's scheme.
And he can't
that's
move,
what they
right?
Do. And they move into
the left
slot.
Cornerback
they
and
move
not
in.
Move. Is that what you're saying?
See, you don't even look at him enough. They move into
oh,
the
wow.
slot sometimes.
I'm sorry.
But I bet you
you've seen some
when.
More games than I saw.
But I bet you don't even know when.
You seen some more games than I saw. I'm sorry.
Man, no, I'm done.
All right, hey, bro, Cali Mike, you want to chime in on this? Cali Mike, you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hold on. As a matter of fact, hold on. Let me bring in David here real quick. Hey, David, you got something to say?
Yeah. My Super Bowl prediction is I have Denver winning by +14. If they,
my man.
If they can protect Peyton Manning, they're going to cook Seattle, because all you have to do is make Chancellor and make the safety cover, which they can't do, and they're going to cook those dudes. So if they protect Peyton Manning, they're going to cook Seattle, because the way Seattle plays offense, once you get points on them, they don't have the kind of team that can come back. So
and
I understand everybody, you know, I'm not with all the arguing back and forth, but Texas right, Seattle plays a cover three. They keep everything in front of them. That's not going to work against what Denver does, because Denver just floods. They flood a whole part of the field, so it doesn't work anymore.
Yes.
You know, that's
attack
that old,
zone
that's,
concept.
Yeah, the attack zone, that's that old stuff that Speed Spurrier used to do in the 90s. He just floods a whole part of the field. Somebody's going to be open. So in Seattle, a team doesn't change their scheme a week out from the Super Bowl. Nobody does that. So, you know, everybody's going to – the game plan is to try to beat the other team at what you do, as opposed to let's switch up what we do to try to beat somebody else. So I think Denver +14, if Denver gets a lead on Seattle, they're going to blow those dudes out of stadium.
Like, David, you listen to what I was saying. I was saying I think it's going to be close for, you know, maybe a good little while, and I think Denver is just going to pull ahead. You know, like I said, I'm not – throw on Seattle's offense, like I was saying. And look at the other two games. I mean, Seattle's defense is good, but both of those games. That's what I was saying. But look at the both games Seattle's defense had, you know, against New Orleans and San Francisco. Both of those games was close. Even though their defense played their hard and their best, both games, I mean, it could have went either way.
Wait a minute, Mike, but didn't you just pick Seattle to win?
No, I said Denver. I said Denver's on where you see my Facebook. I put it right there. I was saying I was agreeing with David. I said the game. I think it's going to be close. It's going to be. I mean, it's going to start being a good game. But I think Denver's going to pull away on them.
I want to throw in my predictions for another part of this game that we haven't talked about. Put in my prediction for what kind of hair hat that Pam Oliver is going to be wearing.
Come on, Kelly Mike.
My belief is some sort of.
Pam Oliver alone, my friend.
I'm gonna predict it's gonna be some sort of blonde bonnet, you know, what do they call it? One of those high, you know, beehive kind of things, you know, like a 60s kind of bouffant kind of thing like that. I think that's what she's gonna pull out.
I mean, I don't know. All I know is who's covering the Super Bowl? Fox this year? Do you know?
Yeah.
Is it Fox or
the
Fox?
Kelly Mike, you're off the chain, dude.
So it's going to be Aaron. It's going to be Aaron Andrews reporting and Pam Oliver reporting. So that's enough right there. That says enough right there for me. So America's going to look at Aaron Andrews, and they're going to compare her to Pam Oliver.
And the hair.
And that's all I have to say right there.
Y'all need to stop. Leave that woman alone.
I'm serious. This is going to be a super hair hat for a Super Bowl. This is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Who knows what kind of costume she's gonna wear out there, dude? It's gonna be amazing.
You, Mike, you ought to be ashamed. I'm writing her a letter on your ass, boy.
I'm gonna guess Aaron Andrews is gonna come out there with a big jacket on because it's gonna be cold, but yet she's still gonna look like some sort of supermodel. So I'm gonna guarantee complete mess.
Yep.
I'm gonna guarantee the pop back.
Y'all are evil.
I agree. Because they wouldn't put Megan Good.
And also, I want you guys.
They wouldn't put Megan Good up there.
Exactly.
He said they would.
Wouldn't. I want you guys to notice, even though he's from my hometown or whatever. I want you to notice how Marshawn Lynch is getting a lot more publicity and talking more than Richard Sherman is, and there's a reason for that too. Marshawn Lynch, you know, he's a good dude, but I'm being serious about this. He's not the most literate person out there, let's just say that. And, you know, I've seen him, and I think that's the reason why he runs from a lot of these interviews, but yet you're constantly putting the microphone in his face. I want you guys to notice that. He did an interview the other day where I didn't even know which language he was speaking. It's like, what the hell is he talking about? I'm being serious. They don't want to put it. It was real, dude. Like I said, it made me. I had to call one of my cousins. I'm like, dude, did you understand that? You know, it's like they won't put the camera in front of Richard Sherman. But like I said, they're gonna keep it. You know, this dude jumping across tables to get away from the reporters. I mean, he knows what the deal is. You know, but they'll still keep. But just notice that though. Like I said, you know, notice that and notice what kind of hair hat Pam Oliver is going to be wearing.
Oh,
it's going to be ridiculous.
Wow. Poor Pam.
Yep.
I'm voting
yep,
for Pam to be a sportscaster.
It ain't going to be poor Pam. It's going to be poor us.
I'm voting for Pam to be, what is she, a sportscaster? She ain't a sportscaster. What are they called out there?
Sideline reporter.
Sideline reporter of the year. Come on now. After all she done been through, y'all put her through the ringer. Y'all put her through the ringer. She deserves it. She earned that.
They at least should have went and got what's the little mixed girl, Sage Steele or somebody like that to go out there, you know.
Yeah, they wouldn't put her out there. They would put like Jemele Hill. They're gonna put Jemele Hill. And they're gonna put, that's what they want you to compare. They want to compare somebody like that looks like Pam Oliver or Jemele Hill versus Aaron Andrews. That's how they want to do it.
If you notice, they start getting rid of the other chicks. You know, Susie Kobler and the other ones. Once they get a certain age and start looking a certain way, you are not on the sideline anymore. Linda Cohn.
I want to get back to a Super Bowl thing.
Her own announcers was making fun of her, you know, for the way she was dressed and how old she was. But, you know, nobody said
what everybody else has said about Peyton Manning and said about the game, I want to make one last analysis. And that is the one thing that I see Seattle being able to do with Marshawn Lynch and Wilson is keep Peyton Manning on the sidelines. You start running that ball, you start running that clock, you run 6 minutes off the clock every single time you go from the 20 down to whatever and kick a field goal, you keep him off the field. Keeping him off the field will keep the score low. And if you keep it close, Seattle wins in the fourth quarter with that defense.
But that's contingent. But that'll be only contingent if Russell Wilson can convert. third
well,
down.
That's what I'm
if
saying.
You can do that.
Like I said, if you can stay on the field, I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but the strategy I see Seattle taking is don't let Peyton Manning be on the field 3 and 4 times a quarter. Let Peyton Manning be on the field 2 or 3 times a quarter. Cut his chances to score down by keeping him off the field.
And I would like to add that Denver does an excellent job of killing the clock too with their run game and air control passes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I want to ask you guys one question real quick. And it came up. I forget what show it came up on. And I want to know what you guys think about it. If Peyton Manning wins this Super Bowl, does he retire? There's been a lot of talk about it.
That's the only reason he went to Denver.
No. He doesn't retire.
Yes, you don't think he retires if he wins checks?
No, he's going to try to go for another one. He's going to try to go for one more. And then
here's the thing. You retire when it hurts to get ready. If you like the preparation, it's not about with these junkies, it's not about winning a Super Bowl. It's about getting ready for it. It's about getting ready to play the game. Now, when you don't want to get ready no more, then you'll walk away. But
I disagree.
I'm telling you what others have said. I'm telling you what John Elway said. I'm telling you what Elway said. He said, I couldn't do it no more. I couldn't prepare. I didn't enjoy getting ready to play. I didn't enjoy challenging
anymore.
But Peyton Manning is not John Elway. And what I'm saying is, if Peyton Manning was just in it for the love of the game, Peyton Manning would have went to the Tennessee Titans, because Peyton Manning is nowhere loved more than he is loved in Tennessee.
Peyton Manning went to Denver
because he knew he had a chance to win a Super Bowl in Denver.
That's fan stuff. Peyton could have gone anywhere and made anybody a contender. Could have gone
that's
anywhere
not
and made anybody.
What I'm saying to you is, if he was going for his love and people loving him, Peyton Manning is not loved anywhere in America.
He could have gone anyway. He chose the best situation, like a lot of guys
to win a Super Bowl. He chose the best situation to win a Super Bowl.
Okay,
and that's why he went to Denver.
And
I think if he wins a Super Bowl, he is done.
You want to put money?
I was gonna say this though. They said he won't have an off. You want to bet on that? They were gonna say it.
I don't have to bet on it because he ain't going to win it. He'll be back next year because he ain't going to win this year. So I ain't got to bet on
it. If he wins, he'll be back. That's on the record.
Because you was about to bet Auburn, Alabama.
So we ain't got
to
worry about it.
Do what?
They said this a few weeks ago, right after the All-AFC Championship. They said, of course, they asked him, an interview. They asked him about, he's going to have a follow-up, see about his neck is. So he still don't know. It might, even if he win or lose, he may.
But now he's having issues with his ankles.
Everybody's been talking about how he's having issues with his ankles. He's got issues with his neck, his neck, his ankles. He's got issues, and I'm telling you, if he gets this win, he is not trying to be out there getting concussions and all of that stuff for the rest of his life.
He's there for a long season.
As he gets older, he's going to start getting it.
Hey, like I said, for a lot of guys and for these quarterbacks, it's about the challenge of getting ready. And that's when they retire, when they don't want to get ready no more.
What do you mean when you say ready, Tex? Are you talking about like off season?
Just preparation for a game, for a regular season game or for any game. Just putting in the work, sitting in the film room, putting in the work. When you don't feel like you want the challenge of having to study more than the next man and do more in preparation than the next man, then you walk away. And that's how Elway felt. He's like,
everybody ain't Elway. Once he has accomplished everything, he beat every record, and he's got his last Super Bowl. I see him going out on top.
Hey. It's the same thing and that's what it is for Peyton. It's a challenge. It's more of a challenge than anything. That's what he always talks about.
Well, what about if he loses?
Being challenged,
what, 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 what,
What about if he loses? You guys think the same way if he loses?
Nah, he's not going in. If he win or lose, he ain't retiring.
Oh, yeah, he'll be back next year because he's there to win a Super Bowl. But if he wins a Super Bowl, he's done.
He also likes the challenge.
I mean, this team, I mean, like I said, this team he's on.
The action is a juice. I don't know if you ever heard that expression before, but the action is a juice.
Well, for like I said, if he was in it for the glory, he ain't going to get no more glory in America than he'd have got at the Tennessee Titans.
And I just
There's no more glory he'd have got in America than he'd have got from the Tennessee Titans because people in Tennessee worship Peyton Manning. Everybody in Tennessee was Indianapolis Colts fans, even though they have a Tennessee Titans team. Everybody in the in Tennessee is now Denver Broncos fans, even though they got a Tennessee Titan team. Why? Because they love Peyton Manning more than they love the Tennessee Titans.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why, man. I don't know why he didn't deliver him a national championship.
That's how it is in Tennessee. They love Peyton Manning, and you can't tell me because I was there. I'm from Tennessee. They love Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is a hero to them.
I don't doubt that, but I don't think Manning would go to a team where they don't have an offense. I think he chose more on a team that he could play longer. I don't think the Titans have an offensive line to protect a guy like Peyton Manning, you know, and I think he saw that. And that's the reason why he didn't go. I mean, look, they couldn't even protect Jay Locker this year. You know, so
I think he chose Denver because Denver proved.
Maybe anything, Tennessee should be loving Steve McNair.
A football team that can go to the Super Bowl. If you can win a playoff game with Tebow, you got a good team. Come on
Hold on. Let's look at the Titans. Now the Titans could comparatively have just the same, if not better, weapon than the Broncos with Kenny Britt and Chris Johnson. I mean, you wouldn't take them two over Demaryius Thomas and No'Shawn Moreno?
I like Thomas over Britt, Cali Mike. Britt ain't been able to stay healthy, man.
I just said two of them, Mike. I said two of them. You said they're a package. They're two players.
Chris,
come on now.
Oh, Chris John, I mean, I think he, to me.
Denver had the team. They won a playoff game with the worst quarterback in NFL history. A playoff game. So that tells you, you put a good quarterback with that good defense, and you can go to the Super Bowl. And that's why he went to Denver. He saw they got a team in place that can take him to the Super Bowl in the very first year they took him.
But also, too, he could have went to San Francisco. San Francisco was on, I mean, the opportunity. I mean, he had a good chance to get to the Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers as well. Look what they got. They got a – you know, mountain of a line. He got Frank Gore, Vernon Davis, Crabtree.
I think Manning wanted to stay in the AFC, though. I really do.
Yeah. But, I mean, San Francisco was just to me. You could say Denver being 1A, 1B, and San Francisco being 1A, 1B.
I think Manning wanted to stay in the AFC.
Yeah, because the family said, I guess, because his brother. They didn't want the brothers to play each other, you know, the conference rather than seeing each other in the Super Bowl. Knock one brother out. That's why Eli Manning, they forced that trade for Eli to go to New York. I didn't know about that, but I read about that and I heard about that,
right,
too.
They wanted a Manning Bowl.
Yeah. But I think, like I said, I mean, look at the team. This team really should have been in the bowl last year. I mean, I think they got a good, you know, they got a good run. I mean, they keep the team intact, and the scary part about it, this team even could be better next year. I mean, look at some of the injuries they got. Some of the key players.
I agree.
Brady,
Denver is one
Alabama.
Hell of a team.
So, I mean, they can be back in it next year.
I hope you guys are not getting from me that the Denver Broncos are not a good team. Denver Broncos is one hell of a team. They are a great team, but I just don't think they are the best team in the NFL this year. I really think the Seattle Seahawks are the best team in the NFL this year. In 2013 season, I think the Seattle Seahawks are the best team in the NFL.
All right. Any final words? We're going to wrap it up here. Tex, any final words?
No, I'm done. I'm done.
All right. All right. David, you got anything to say? Hello? No, he's off. All right. Well, let's wrap it up then, man.
Hey,
right, we'll be here next
week.
Did
you mention that the number one quarterback in the country switched his commitment from Alabama to the University of Southern California, Caldwell?
No, I didn't know that. Did you know the quarterback, the backup quarterback for USC is leaving, Max Whittick or something?
Nah,
did you
tell
you that?
I posted on
your Facebook. Another guy.
I posted on your Facebook. You knew it.
No, I didn't.
You knew about it, all
he's
right.
Leaving.
I posted it right on the front page of your Facebook. You knew it, all right.
I mean, it don't matter, man. I mean, we still got the number one recruiting class. So it don't matter, man. I think, what's the last day? Oh, the last day is Friday, right? The Friday is the last day, right?
No, next Wednesday. That's what I say, next Wednesday. We're going to be on live while it's going on.
Okay, cool. So
I think it's either the 5th or the 2nd. I think it's the 5th. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the 5th.
All right. So, yeah, definitely going to have a coverage on that.
I say this,
but it don't matter, man. Alabama, I got them winning it all next year, man. So they ain't worried. I'm not even worried. I think the offense will even be better next year than it was last year with a new guy running the show.
That's bold to say, man. When you have your quarterback, when you got a new quarterback
exactly.
coming in, man.
Exactly. It's going to be more explosive. I'm looking forward to next year and having these discussions. I'm really looking forward to it. Because,
we'll see how your quarterback does, Clausel.
And Jameis Winston. I mean, he's not going to leave. I mean, I don't think Florida State's going to win it next year because they're losing a lot of players, man. They're losing a lot of players. Benjamin's leaving. Wilder's leaving.
They're reloading, but
it's really just
Winston. They got a chance. While they still got him, they
That's
got a
true.
Chance.
That is true. That is true.
They got people recruiting there because, look, they got Jameson Winston. Come on, Clausel. It's Florida State. You know they're going to get some receivers. You got a quarterback like that. It's going to be some receivers that's coming there, man.
Yeah. They'll be in it. I never said they won't win. I don't think they're going to win it. They'll be in it. But they ain't winning it. But anyway. All right, man. We don't end it. Oh, what you about to say?
I say this. I was going to say, man, for a Super Bowl, never having in no cold weather place, man. They need to keep it warm, man. It's, you know. You can't have a Super Bowl in a cold place. New York and New York, I kind of understand why they doing it because I know back, 9/11, they were talking about doing one in D.C. too, which I guess it never happened. But I guess in New York, I guess the money from that situation, the boost of the economy up out there since 9/11, that's the reason why they're having it out there.
No. I don't know. That's not a good idea. Hopefully they don't do it again.
Yeah, it took 12 years, though. It's a decade. We waited a whole long time for it, but, you know, I'm with you on that. Well, next year is going to be in Arizona, and the year after that, California, and then Houston, Texas. So the next three places is going to be.
Where is it going to be at in California?
It's going to be
in California.
It's going to be at San Francisco 49ers Stadium. In Santa Clara, on Cali Mike. Where y'all stadium is going to be at? It's going to be out there, Super Bowl 2016.
Oh, okay. All
right. The Niners might be in that Super Bowl. That might be something if they've been in that year.
All right. Well, we're about to wrap it up, man. See you guys next week. We'll be in for a fun-filled show, CMT Firestone. We're on Facebook. We're on the show will be linked on our Facebook page, our Twitter page, on all the panelists' page. So make sure you check it out. Make sure you check out our show next week. Peace, love, God bless. Goodbye.
It's going to be a new Super Bowl champion, though. Who's going to be?